You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Bellator 290 post-fight show here live on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. That is Jed Meshew. That is Shaheen Al-Shadi. And as you can see, at least with myself and Jed, I am not wearing a bathrobe. Jed is wearing a shirt.
I am shirting.
So that means the MMA gods do not shine upon Fedor Emelianenko. No cigar for Jed. That means that what we expected to happen in the main event of this card is what was kind of, I guess, meant to be. Ryan Bader finishes Fedor Emelianenko in the first round. Fedor's career comes to an end. He had a moment with the legends. His walkout gave me chills. But in the end, Ryan Bader gets the job done. And Bellator 290, the CBS debut for Bellator, is officially in the book. So, gentlemen, Shaheen, I'll start with you. How would you grade this effort? CBS, big deal. They got a lot of hype behind this thing. It seemed like the media was all in on it. The fans were getting in on it. Did this thing live up to the potential that you felt that it had?
Did it live up to the potential is an interesting question, right? Because it had the potential to be just like something magical, like, right? We could have just had some magical, incredible moment. Felt pretty unlikely. Ultimately, we got what I think most of us expected. If they were just going pass fail, I would say this is definitely a pass. Like, this, the first fight was perfect matchmaking, the Hamasi fight, Brendan Ward fight, that, like, if you're trying to introduce an audience on CBS to your product, you put two all action guys in there and hope they go to war. And that's exactly what those two dudes did. Johnny Eblen had a chance, I think, to become a much bigger name tonight than, you know, he is right now. I don't know that he accomplished that, but he certainly looks like a guy who is a top five middleweight in the world. Like, that dude is incredible in the ways that he is getting better every time we see him. And then the main event, you know, you said it. Walkout was cool. The Legends lineup was cool. I wish they would have done that beforehand, but even afterwards, that was still a very cool way to send off an all-time great. Made me sad. Didn't make me as sad as it could have. And certainly didn't make me as sad as, you know, some recent ones that we've had of this, like a Shogun. This Shogun made me significantly more sad than whatever this was tonight. Ultimately, though, you know, we didn't get the magic moment that we wanted. I would say this whole show still was a success for Bellator in the end, given the product that they had and sort of the platform that they had. It could have been a lot cooler if we would have had that one gift from the MMA gods, you know? It wasn't meant to be.
Jed, on BTL, you gave this card on paper like an 8.5 to a 9, much higher than New York Rick gave it, but did it live up to that number for you? If that was your gymnastics scale, did it hit it?
Not quite. I'm giving it a B-. Look, nothing super bad happened. So that's very important here. And they did, that card was exactly what I thought it was, basically. I got a little bit rose-colored glasses hoping that Fedor might do some things, but it was exactly what I thought. Whereas, like, oh, okay, they are a decently well-run, competent mixed martial arts organization, so they know how to mostly do things right. And they're not going to get, like, they're not going to have the Elite XC egg on their face in a horrific way. But that can't be an A, because what did they gain from this? I mean, Does anybody believe that they made new Bellator fans tonight? I would be hard pressed to think that that is the case. I am certain that the people who tuned in because they already know MMA, they know Bellator, they didn't leave feeling bad, because I certainly didn't. Look, Johnny Eblen, that fight was a little bit better than I thought it would be, but it was also exactly what I thought it would be. We all knew the Ward Hamasi fight was going to be nuts. That was really good promotion, really good matchmaking, and it delivered in every way. And we all kind of saw the ending coming, even if I had talked myself into hope, and it's the hope that kills you, Mike. We all know this. But it's just like, what we didn't gain too much from this, so that like just puts it at a B, and I'll give it a B minus for some of the other. It gets some point stocks for some of the other snafus. This maybe isn't Bellator's issue, but the Paramount was not a super intuitive thing to do. So I missed the first half of Ward Hamasi because I literally couldn't get my Paramount stream to work. And also, like, you know, the undercard having a 30-minute gap between the Lorenz Larkin elbow finish and before we started on CBS seemed very, very dumb. The post limbs are still going on right now, with for being honest. Like, and they we talked about this off air, and it's just Bellator every time they are gonna Bellator so hard. They were flying through the prelims. They were getting new dudes into the cage before guys had left the cage from the previous fight. It was awesome. The pacing ruled. The fights were delivering good performances. And then they just kind of did the Bellator thing. And it's, their heart's in the right place. And I've said it a million times, but it is the best analogy for me. They get the ball downfield and they can't punch in a touchdown. This is an organization of field goals and no touchdowns to be had. There was another one tonight. Nothing bad happened. They're coming away with points, and that always helps, but they are not getting seven. This is a full 3 points.
So, we have given Fedor his flowers for the last couple of weeks, and he deserves every single kind word that we said about him. And I don't really want to harp on how that night ended. I want to talk a little bit more about Ryan Bader, Shaheen, because I got to say, he was in a tough spot and he admitted it. He talked about how tough of a spot it was, the pressure, because not only was he the guy that was fighting Fedor in his final fight, but he's a guy who already fought him and beat him in 35 seconds. So how could he do it better? You have to do it again. Everyone's expecting him to go out there and just bulldoze him in the first round, which he did. But I thought the way he handled in the aftermath, the way that he put Fedor over, talked about the pressure, was very honest about how he felt heading in. I thought he played this picture perfect. Your reaction to Bader's performance, and what I think shined even better was the post-fight stuff from him.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely didn't pull an Igor, right, and dance over you know, a fallen hero like we saw with Shogun. Like, he definitely played the part right in that respect. I mean, that's not a surprise, though, right? Like, Ryan Bader, he's not that guy. He's very respectful, man. His whole heavyweight crusade here in Bellator is such a weird one. It's just they're throwing him in against guys like a 50-year-old Chuck Congo, Valentin Moldavsky, now 46-year-old
Sean, I have a great
Fedor.
Stat about Bader if you want it.
I know exactly what the stat is, and actually bring it in. Let's do it, because I know exactly what you're going to say, and it's perfect for what we're talking about.
So the last time Ryan Bader finished a person who was under 40 years old, it was 2018, and it was 37-year-old King Mo.
Tremendous.
5 years ago is the last time he finished a man who wasn't a few years away from an AARP card. It's the best. I love Bellator.
You gotta love it. I mean, he's working with what Bellator has, right?
Like, yeah, that's not on him.
You can only fight the dudes on the roster, and he's fighting the dudes on the roster, and he's smoking all of them. Like, I would love to have some Francis Ngannou in this equation.
Or he's holding Valentin Moldavsky down for 25 minutes.
Yeah, more or less. So, I mean, Bader handled it as well as I think most of us would expect from him. Again, the Legends thing happening after the fight was, I think a lot of us would have liked to see that beforehand, but it was still very cool. You get that moment at the end of all these legends lined up, sort of celebrating and saluting Fedor. It's a little bit emotional. I just got to say, though, like, now that we have seen this time and time again over the years, consistently over and over and over and over again, where doing the same routine, right, Jed? Because you had said, you know, you talked yourself into this. Somehow you talked yourself into like, hey, we're going to get this magic moment maybe. Maybe this is the one where, you know, the old legend comes back and gets this knockout to finish his career. We had this exact same cycle for Shogun a couple weeks ago. I'm sure we're going to have this exact same cycle next time around for whatever the next guy is. Like, I have an idea that I would like to propose just generally that I think MMA needs. I would like some sort of investor to come to me. I just want to create an MMA promotion where exclusively the only fights we run, that's it. We don't do normal fights. All we do are, if you're a legend, if you're an all-timer and you want to have a retirement fight, you come get us. Come get us. We will find you the Bob Sappiest Bob Sapp that you will ever find in a Bob Sapp universe. And we will just line you up against total absolute cans, and we're gonna let you style on people on the way out. And hey, maybe it's so much fun you kind of want to do it again. We'll let you do it one more time. We'll give you like a fake retirement too if you want. Hey, we'll even like throw fake belts up for all of this. Like Fedor could have fought for the heavyweight GOAT belt tonight in this magical promotion, right? And Shogun could have fought for the most violent man of all time belt in this promotion. Like, I'm just here to make these guys happy on their way out and maybe give us some smiles on the way out too, because it feels like we badly need this. Like, I'm getting pretty sick of just seeing these dudes go out on their back or face down on the canvas or whatever. Like, it leaves us feeling hollow and sad inside. And I think there's a way that we don't need to feel this. We can let these guys have their moment. Like, what's wrong with that? The Heritage Fight League from Jimmy West. There we go. Like, there is a way we can execute this. There is some sort of rich financier watching this right now whose interest has peaked. Hit me. You get in my DMs. Let's make some magic happen. Come on. I'm just saying, this is a real thing that we need to do at this point.
I love this idea. Jen, I think you'd be a great promoter for this. Sean could be the CEO and, like, do all the deals, and you could be the guy hyping this up.
Let's be real. I'll be a great promoter for any organization. As soon as someone wants to give me a big bag of money and become the number two MMA org in the world, hit my DMs. I'm right here. I got ideas. I don't hate this idea. I think I would rather, instead of having them style on, you know, like me and you in the cage or whatever, though that has a lot of charm to it.
Tons of opportunity there. I'm just
the thing that really struck me. I mentioned this during the post-fight presser. Is like, I'm still not really sure how I felt about the like hero send-off or whatever. It landed better than bad. It didn't go over poorly. It still felt a little awkward because like some of those dudes, Fedor has nothing, like doesn't know them or care about them. Like the Barnett, they are friends. They have known each other for years. You could see them like exchange a real hug. But, like, what does Fedor have to say to Matt Hughes? He has never met Matt Hughes, doesn't care about Matt Hughes at all. So that just – I felt a little weirdish, but it's okay. But it did strike me with, like, that's how these things should end. Fedor should be fighting Josh Barnett. Like, I get – what's Josh Barnett doing? Fedor should be rematching Verdum or, another old washed guy. Do the old washed guy – and you just have to retire two people at a time. Like, Lyoto Machida should have re-signed with the UFC, said it at the time, and they should have just run back the Shogun fight, and both guys had to retire at the end. Loser and winner leaves town. And that's really what I would have liked to see. And that kind of drove home when I was just like, I mean, I don't think Chuck Liddell should ever fight again, but I wouldn't have hated it if they were just like, all right, Chuck, come to Bellator for one and you fight Fedor. Like, okay, sure. Like, any of those would have been better than the Bader thing, but the Bader thing ended up not being that bad. I'm not all that sad about what happened.
It could have been way worse.
Yeah. It sort of is what it is. Worse. Yeah. It, and I don't know if that's because Fedor's already retired once. We already seen this fight, but you know, it worked out. The bigger complaint I have kind of moving forward is like, okay, that was cool. What did Bellator gain? Because again, I'm not sure they gained much tonight, other than putting on a very serviceable and useful card, and that has plenty of merits. Not here to say that doesn't, but I don't think they converted new fans here. They didn't build a new star in Ryan Bader because Ryan Bader is very not interesting. I think as a point of pride on his part that he's not interesting, but man, credit to him because he did really handle the end of that as well as anyone could have, like just picture perfect ending. So, you know, fine night overall.
Yeah. Let me push back on that. Let me push back on that briefly. When you ask, what did Bellator gain? Because I think that's a very fatalistic way to look at this, and maybe just a single-minded in a sense that, like, sure, like, I agree with you in that I don't know that there are new Bellator fans coming away from this. Like, no one saw Ryan Bader Starch, a 46-year-old man, and was like, hey, this is right up my alley. I love this. Let's check in next time. But I do think there is some legitimate value to getting put on that platform, a platform as big as CBS, and performing well enough to say, hey, here is our product. It was a solid night. It was a solid product for the night. This is what we can provide just value-wise, right? Like, just on this platform, like, we didn't ruin this moment. Like, we pulled through in the way that we needed to pull through. I think that alone has pretty decent value for a promotion like Bellator that is consistently looking for opportunities like this to get in front of more eyeballs.
That could totally be true. I want to see what the numbers end up looking like here, because even though they did fine promotionally, I think the numbers will dictate that story moving forward much more. And I suspect the numbers are okay. Not a ton of counter programming. Fedor still probably draws them in, but I want to see before I feel like confident in that.
Yeah, I'm curious what the ratings are. If they're under a million, that's bad. Like, that's pretty bad. 1.5 is probably like a win.
I think they'll probably get close to that. That's my feeling, but
yeah. And, you know, last thing just about the matchmaking. I saw somebody comment earlier, like, why are you praising this matchmaking, but you gave the UFC crap for putting Shogun in there with Iho Pretoria? Here's the difference. Shogun didn't say, hey, Sean Shelby, you know what would be a great retirement fight? That Iho Pretoria guy. I heard he's a great dancer, so that when he knocks me out, he'll just dance on my lifeless
he's
body.
He's the duelist, Mike. The duelist.
He
didn't you
that.
Get that? You didn't understand that?
They were like, here's this dude that nobody knows or cares about. Fedor is like, nah. Like, if I'm going to fight out this last fight, like, give me Ryan Bader. And I'm sure Bellator was like, I think we can do something else. And Fedor's like, no, if you want me to fight, like, just give me the title shot against this dude. Let me try to run it back with this guy. And at that point, like, what are you supposed to do? Say no? Yeah. Just give him the freaking fight. He's freaking Fedor. Yeah. So I felt weird about it, but still, like, this is what the man wanted for his last fight. So just give the man what he freaking wanted for his last fight. And that's what we got. But go ahead.
Just real quick before we move on. Heritage Fight League, if this happens, what we could have done, just pitching the Fedor retirement idea. Here's my Fedor retirement idea for Heritage Fight League. We just have a whole card of Fedor versus X, Fedor versus Y, Fedor versus Z. We just let this man fight as many times as he wants to and just knocking out as many dudes as he wants to until he feels like pretty satisfied with his work that night. Like, how about that? Like, you just go to an all-you-can-eat buffet. You go to the Country Harvest buffet of fight cards, my man, Fedor, and you just have yourself a time. Have yourself one last party and, you know, like, let us all kind of feel good about this. How much fun would that be if Fedor had knocked out, like, his third guy in the last 30 minutes and then the fourth guy walks out and he's just some big fat guy and we're all just watching this on social media? Like, how much fun would the escalation be until it's like, you know, like, I think we've seen enough. Like, we would really enjoy this. I'm just saying.
That would be pretty crazy.
Unless we get like a Danny LaFever moment and then it will be the saddest thing that's ever happened. It's a deep cut. No one watching this knows what that means. And I don't care.
Oh, man. Last thing before we move on.
The real GOAT. Danny LaFever is.
Last thing before we move on. At the press conference, which, by the way, golly, that was a long press conference. Ryan Bader gets up there and he is asked about Francis Ngannou. He keeps saying over and over again, I want some new blood. So he's asked about Francis, completely no-sells it. And then BTL alum Josh Gross brings back up Fedor, asks some good follow-ups to try to be like, but why? This could be like the biggest fight you could have. And he just pretty much no-sold the entire thing, saying, look, if he signs a contract, cool. But other than that, like, the fight doesn't really tickle me. But in reality, no fights at all tickle me, because as soon as I leave this building, like, I'm just going to shut the MMA world out altogether. Shaheen, how did he handle this? Because I was very happy with how he handled the Fedor stuff, but the Francis stuff, I was kind of stunned. He just completely no-sold it and then just completely no-sold the sport altogether as well.
I mean, it was basically the most Ryan Bader way you could handle that situation, right? Like, that is who Ryan Bader is. He's not here for your excitement. He's not here for your games. He's going to just kind of do what he did, cash his 150K and go home happy. I would say, and I think Jed, maybe you were the one who said this on our Slack channel, Ryan Bader,
oh,
at one
me.
Point, did fight Rumble Johnson, and that didn't really go well. And Francis Ngannou is just kind of a much larger Rumble Johnson. So I would assume that Ryan Bader's probably not super stoked and excited for the potential Francis Ngannou fight if that happens. But also maybe he is. I don't know. But I'm just saying I think there's probably a reason as well. He's maybe trying to no-sell it and not build it into something.
I think that really what has happened is one time in his life, Ryan Bader was interesting. It's at a post-fight press conference that he wasn't involved in, and he just starts chatting shit to Daniel Cormier. It was the one time this man has ever been interesting, and then that fight didn't end up happening. And so his heart got broken, and, you know, it's like when you lose the love of your first love. You're never the same, and he has never allowed himself to be interesting again after that didn't work out for him. And so he's just like, I don't really care. Whatever. It doesn't matter. You guys pick somebody. It's fine. Because the fortunate thing is it was a Bellator post-fight press conference, so no one is going to see that he is boring, because come on. What are we expecting the viewership numbers there to be? So, yeah, it was just Ryan Bader being Ryan Bader. You know, it is what it is. He's a pretty good fighter. He doesn't care. And that's okay.
That is okay.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury. Not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank & Trust. Members FDIC.
Seems like Johnny Eblen cares, though, because this man put on a performance, beat the hell out of Anatoly Tokov. I thought the first round was real close. I thought Tokov was looking good in the second, and then Eblen dropped him with an elbow, and just the tide of that entire fight just shifted in his favor. And then he just went on and did Johnny Eblen things for the next three rounds, and that fight was not competitive the rest of the way. So great performance. Sean brought up something that I felt was... like, Johnny Eblen was the guy on this card that could have just been shot to the moon if he had... and the performance was great, don't get me wrong, but if he just dump-trucked Tokov and put him away in the third round and then cut a great promo afterwards, like, this guy would have gone to a different level. And he's in a good spot now, no doubt about it, but I don't think he got to that star level, because Scott Coker said at the press conference, I think Johnny Eblen became a star tonight. Jed, I don't know if that's... necessarily true. I think his stock,
Scotty Cokes.
God love him. No, I think his stock grew amongst the hardcore fans, but that's kind of it, and that's good. But this could have been so much bigger, right?
Yeah, and that was, we talked about this beforehand. That was the thing. Like, I gave this card a high score because there was potential. Now, a lot of things had to break right, and the more likely outcome is what we got tonight. I think these were the most predictable sort of top-end outcomes here. But there was a potential, if something broke right, for things to really go well. And that's actually a pretty – that means the card's pretty well designed, right? Like, your floor is relatively stable, but you do have a high ceiling, even if the likelihood of getting to that ceiling's low. And it's just sort of what it was for Johnny Eblen. He has never been a huge finisher. Tokov is incredibly tough. And as that fight was going to wear on, even though he wants to showcase his striking, realistically, he's going to go to the thing that he's best at. He's going to wear Tokov down. That's what it is. I have no idea, but I strongly suspect that that did not, that people may well have turned the channel, given there was a pretty big break after the Hamasi Ward fight into that one. And then that fight, while it had some moments, and it was certainly a good fight if you are a invested MMA fan, if you're just somebody flipping through the channels on CBS, that's probably not one that gets you. And I'll dock him some points because he's trying. He has some personality, and you can see it at moments, but you just got to know where you're at. You're on CBS, my guy. If you come out firing, you know, fuck shit or whatever it is, they're just going to mute you for the first 2 minutes of what you're talking about because it's CBS, and so then you're not getting over at all. So he had a great performance. He is going to be a top five middleweight, I think, in our rankings pretty unanimously. But this is where it becomes a big problem for him because that was the biggest platform, the best opportunity he's going to get to ascend, and he couldn't pull it off. And that's sort of to be expected, but that's a missed opportunity, certainly. And now he is going to face the other side of this coin, which is, okay, well, he didn't cross over into mainstream success, stardom, and that's probably not going to happen, but he leveled up. He showed that he's an unbelievable fighter. He is still competing in Bellator, and that really puts a roof on how far the broader MMA audience is going to be content to elevate you, because Tokov, by my estimation, is the best fighter he could have fought. He already beat Musasi, got Tokov. Fabian Edwards is okay, but he may or may not beat Musasi. And then where is Eblen going? The middleweight division in Bellator is not robust. You know, Luke Rockhold maybe signs, maybe you can get some mileage there, maybe he moves up to 205, but it's just tough. This was a big opportunity for him, and I don't think it was for lack of trying. I think Tokov's just a tough dude to look great against and to kind of deliver, and so he's just here. He's a damn good fighter, top five guy in the world. He's probably never going to get the respect that the deeply embedded MMA fans will have for him.
I just watched Adam Fuge just beat the hell out of his opponent.
Oh, did he?
So great win. Yeah, just elbowed him into an oblivion. So good win for him. Big, an upset. Not a lot of people are giving him a chance.
No one, yeah.
And he gets the job done. So well done. Shaheen, there's one thing I also thought he was missing. And it's been kind of a divisive thing, but I felt like he should have called out Luke Rockhold after this win. Because Scott Coker said Luke was going to be invited. We're having conversations, and I get it. Like, same thing with Francis. You don't want to get too excited until the man signs on the dotted line. But I feel like, especially with the relationship that Scott Coker and Luke Rockhold have, that fight makes a lot of sense. Now, is Johnny Eblen like a minus 800 favorite in that fight? Probably. But Luke is still a big name. And at this moment, realistically, this is the biggest fight he could possibly get. Because fighting Gegard again is cool, but he probably beats him again. Fighting Fabian Edwards, I don't think does a lot for him, if we're being honest. But fighting Luke Rockhold, it's star-making kind of a fight, right? Like, just beating a name like that, Luke's going to get on the mic during fight week and pump this event up and say some weird things, and people are going to get excited. I felt like he kind of missed the boat there. What do you think?
I mean, that's fair. I think that's fair, because obviously that would be the biggest possible opponent out there for him to fight. I don't know that there's a ton of interest in like a Gegard Mousasi rematch, which would probably be the second toughest thing he could get thrown into. That was a pretty one-sided fight. I will say, though, I mean, I'm not going to pile on Johnny Eblen and his performance, because I came away from that incredibly impressed by what this man has become, incredibly impressed by what this man did. And also, he was set up this was like a big opportunity where he could have potentially, you know, really increased his brand and his stock in a way that I think would be pretty profound. But the thing is, like, this isn't professional wrestling, and he was in an incredibly difficult situation with the man standing across from him, because Anatoly Tokov has been in Bellator for like 6 years now, and he has just not lost. Like, he is, when he joined this promotion, I assumed at some point he was going to be the middleweight champion, and it took him a lot longer than I expected to really get to a position like this. But that is a difficult man to fight on any given night. Nonetheless, like a night like this where there's so much pressure and so much eyeballs on it. Like, Johnny Eblen came out there and dominated that man, and really, like, I think put a real statement out there for sure, maybe not casual audience, but for hardcore people who understood what they were watching and understand how good Tokov is. Like, Johnny Eblen's a problem, man. That dude's gas tank is out of control, frankly. Like, I don't understand how he was still going as hard as he was, like pushing as hard as he was in the later rounds with the pace of that fight. Like, that man is a legitimate problem. And I think if you were to just put him up against Alex Pereira, like, that's a competitive fight, man. Like, that's a really interesting fight stylistically and just generally in a lot of different ways you could look at it. Like, if you look at the top five in the UFC right now, right, the middleweight top five, you got Pereira, Adesanya, Whitaker, Cannonier, Vettori, and then Brunson. I don't know if you want to count the champion in that top five. I mean, I think Johnny Eblen fits pretty well with everybody in there outside of maybe an Adesanya and a Whitaker, right? Like, that is that man is really, really damn good. And I think we are still only scratching the surface of how good he's going to truly be, like, whatever his final form is. Because he is someone who, again, every time we see him, he's much more impressive than he was the last time. And I don't know, man, maybe this wasn't the performance that you know, new fans are going to be following Johnny Eblen, but this was definitely a performance where MMA fans, hardcore MMA fans, who realistically made a pretty big chunk of this audience, you gotta come away impressed by that, man. Like, that dude is legitimate as hell.
Yeah, he will be my number four middleweight in the February rankings. He will be my number four guy. He will jump, I think I have him at six now. He will jump two guys, and he will be number four behind Whitaker, Pereira, and Adesanya. And the Pereira fight's interesting, Jed, because I would favor Johnny Eblen to probably win that fight right now, but there are holes, and Johnny knows there's holes, because he's what, 13-0 now, but still, he hasn't been doing this for very long. He's just been very active and just working everybody he fights. But there are defensive striking discrepancies that fighting a dangerous striker like Alex Pereira could expose pretty violently. Like, when he throws those big shots, he leaves his head right down for a big knee or a big kick or big nasty uppercut.
So much.
He does that a lot. But he's gotten away with it against a lot of these guys. But he'll clean that up. That's the scary thing about this man, because if they fought a year, 18 months from now, that's a whole different fight, in my opinion, because Johnny's will probably fix that. But yeah, I mean, for the hardcore fans, what Johnny did tonight just proved that not only is he the best middleweight in Bellator, but he can hang in some way, form, or fashion with all of these top dudes.
I mean, just to even jump in, sorry, but like, Tokov signed with Bellator in 2017. Johnny Eblen hadn't even debuted in MMA at the moment Tokov signed with Bellator. Like, when you say he's new to this, like, that is an understatement.
Yeah.
You're being generous. This man is incredibly new to it. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, he's a problem, man. Like, what we've seen so far, I mean, this dude is a natural.
Supernatural. Really good. I'd pick him to beat Pereira tomorrow. He is not going to be totally outclassed by anybody at this point, and he is going to continue to develop. He is so young in this. I think that he would definitively lose to Izzy and Whitaker at this moment in time. And that's also the list of every MMA fighter that's not named Alex Pereira, basically. So it's okay. But I think both of those guys have way too much polish on their game right now for him. You know, 18 months, 2 years, maybe that changes. But he's a top five guy in the world at this weight class for sure. Based on what we have seen and, you know, to some extent, the stuff we've heard about him for years, ATT is a damn fine gym and everyone there speaks glowingly about him. And he has performed in the cage up to that level. So yeah, you can take nothing away from his actual in-cage performance. There were nothing bad happened there, you know, outside the same things you see developmentally from everybody. So great performance. He is I don't know if you can build around him just because he is a little older, and I don't know how long you can, you know, he is not AJ McKee or whatever in that regard, but this guy's probably going to hold that belt for several years at this point in time.
Yeah, he's going to have a hard time finding somebody who's going to match him up good. So, yeah, getting him in there with a Luke Rockhold, that's just going to boost his stock a little bit. He'll probably finish Luke, and that'll be a huge win on the old resume. So, one guy's stock I think probably rose the most, Shaheen, is Brendan Ward, because his story is incredible. Comes back, fights Saba Hamasi. That fight is everything we thought it was going to be. It was just a bloody, violent massacre between those two dudes. And then Brendan just lands a big shot. He kicks him in the face, drops him, and then just beats the tar out of him until the fight is stopped and gets on the mic and cuts a fun promo. And freaking Jean-Claude Van Damme leaves his seat and comes in with the shades on. And they have this awkward handshake. Should I hug him? Should I fist pound him moment? But still, he got the photo with JCVD. Super cool moment. He was great at the post-fight press conference. They got something with this guy, do they not?
I mean, they have the same thing they've always had with him. Like, I kind of wish the JCVD thing would have just been a running theme throughout the rest of the night. Like, I wanted every winner to just call him Jean-Claude so we could just have this repeated moment. Maybe he would understand whether we're going for hug or handshake by the end of it. But I mean,
nah, bro, you got to get Jeremy Piven in the cage at some point. Just what if Fedor was a big Entourage fan, and instead of hugging like Chuck Liddell, he was just like, "Hey, I see Ari Gold is in the front row. Can we get him in here? Be lovely."
I'm kind of just into like, let's just from now on, whoever we see cage side, like celebrity wise, can we just have the fighters invite them up, like pick out who they want to come up in the cage for their post fight interviews of like, hey, you know, hey, there's Shaq. Can you come in here, Shaq? Let's go have a moment with Shaq. That'll be fun. But no,
I
mean,
want to do that if it's flyweights, because seeing flyweights stand next to Shaq would be incredibly amusing.
It would be a good time. Brendan Ward is Brendan Ward, right? Like, that may seem like very stupid analysis, but this is what this man has been doing his whole entire career. Like, he's been in Bellator this long for a reason, and it's been really fun to see this like Brendan Ward renaissance that we've sort of seen over the last year or so. You don't realize how much you kind of miss the all action guys like Brendan Ward when he's gone until he comes back. But yeah, I mean, this was, I said it at the top, but this was perfect matchmaking. Like, all of us, as soon as we saw this fight as the opener for a big moment like this for CBS, it's just like, that's chef kiss. You cannot do that better. That is perfect for the moment. And these guys delivered. Like, that was a tremendously fun fight. And the more Bellator wants to put Brendan Ward in our face, like, obviously I'm going to enjoy it.
I love how he went from a title shot to moving up a weight class and fighting Dalton Rasta, like classic New England welder union guy call out. It was very much the best, but great performance from Brendan Ward. I think they got something with this guy, and let's just keep chucking him in there. Main card openers, fun fights, and just let him go in there and do the thing that he does best. But last thing, and then we'll take a couple of questions. Lorenz Larkin, Jed Meshew, violent knockout, gets the job done. And Shaheen posted a question in our ranking Slack channel. Have we been just not getting this guy enough credit? Have we been just underrating Lorenz Larkin? Because the guy hasn't lost in a really long time. My response was, I really haven't, but the problem is he just hasn't stuck around a weight class long enough for me to actually rank him, because he was at 170, could have been the number one contender. Was like, nah, I'd rather fight in Japan, misses weight. And then he has a couple of fights at 185. We think he's going to stay there. And he's like, nah, I think I'll go back to 170. And then he fights to a draw, or has the no contest, and then he just obliterated this guy tonight. What a performance. Have we been underrating Lorenz Larkin? Was this a y'all must have forgot type of performance from this guy?
We haven't been underrating him, but it maybe was a y'all must have forgot. I think at one point I had Lorenz Larkin ranked because, you know, I think pretty highly of Andrei Kereshkov, or I did a couple of years ago. But yeah, he fought Rafael Carvalho at middleweight, and then just sort of, and then when he comes back, he's not fighting like huge marquee names, but even when he left the UFC, he was on a good run. This dude is undeniably like a top 20 at top 25 at the worst welterweight. It's just been sort of a weird career path for him the last few years. And so, yeah, I do think this is a y'all must have forgot, because like, I kind of did. I forgot that he was capable of doing something like that aggressively violent. It was awesome. So good for him. He may end up getting ranked off that, and kind of what's been going on in welterweight has some opportunities there. Let's phrase it like that. But yeah, I'm I would like to see Lorenz Larkin fight some of the better names that Bellator has to offer at this point. That would be a great, great idea for all involved.
Is it time for Lorenz Larkin MVP? Because I thought, I feel like this fight is, we've been talking about this fight for like 6 years now.
Can't do it. We can't have MVP fight people who are good. It's I'm fundamentally opposed to him fighting anybody who can actually fight back. The last time that happened, Logan Storley held him for 25 minutes. It was awful. We can't do
that. Lorenz is not going to do that. Lorenz Larkin is not going to do that. That's the fight.
I know. Right? Lorenz will, no, Lorenz Larkin will knock him out. That's we're supposed to have fun with MVP. We come on. Come on, man. We can't be doing this. Also, maybe MVP just tackles him. You remember when MVP turned into a freaking wrestler against Paul Daly? That was sick. No, MVP gets to only fight people who are bad. That is the only booking I accept for MVP. We can do... You know what would be sick? Let's Lorenz Larkin, Brandon Ward. Let's get that going. Sign me up. Let's
now you're speaking my language. Up. I gotta say, like the arc of Lorenz Larkin has to be one of the most bizarre arcs of like a post UFC free weird. Agent that I can remember, right? Because if you remember back to his UFC run, like that dude became a monster pretty quickly at once he dropped down to welterweight. He went 4-1 and he was one scorecard away from winning that split decision to go 5-0. Like he was looking like a wrecking ball. I think his last fight was like Neil Magny and he was the underdog. Yeah, it was Neil Magny. He was the underdog.
Breaks off
and he destroyed Neil Magny. Like you look at his UFC, the last UFC run he had, those victories have aged incredibly well, right? Like Neil Magny, Santiago Ponzinibbio, and Jorge Masvidal. All those dudes are still very relevant at 170.
It's tough to beat Tumanov.
And that was the 1-1 where he's one scorecard away with the split, right? Like it's people like when he left the UFC, he was a I think top 9, top 8 welterweight there, and he lost those first two fights at Bellator against the actual good names at Bellator, Paul Daly, and I think was it Koreshkov at the time. I'm pretty sure it was correct.
No, it was Lima.
Douglas Lima.
And then he just
kind of like fell into this weird void for the last like 6 years, 5 years, where he has just been fighting rando dudes for the most part, right? Like he's not fighting the actual names that Bellator has at either of these divisions, the 170 or 185. Like he's just kind of floating around and getting these, you know, maybe he would get a Koreshkov, but it would be past the point when Koreshkov was sort of that guy. Like Lorenz Larkin has had a very strange run in Bellator, and I think it was very easy to forget about him because he fights somewhat infrequently. And again, it's always kind of just buried on these cards where he's not a focal point. Like he's not a centerpiece to any of this, which is kind of weird because he's so fun. Like he's such an active, entertaining stand-up knockout guy. Like the knockout tonight, man, was like, we're going to be talking about that at the end of the year, maybe, like in terms of the knockout of the year ballots. Like that's going to get some honorable mentions at least. Like that was pure violence. Like it's puzzling to me that it's taken this long for Lorenz Larkin to give us some sort of, oh yeah, like Lorenz Larkin is awesome type of moment. And maybe again, that's just sort of the way that Bellator has navigated this guy's career is a little strange, but hopefully this is a wake up call that like, I want to see Lorenz Larkin in some big spots in Bellator. I want to see him against an MVP. I want to see him against the dudes who actually matter in these divisions because he very well, to me, is probably still like a top 15 welterweight right now. Like he's done nothing to lose that title other than the fact that he's just kind of like been aimlessly wandering around, you know, in this whole Bellator scene for a while. So Lorenz Larkin to me was one of the MVP of the nights. Like that was tremendous.
Yeah, good finish for him. Good finish for Chris Gonzalez too. That was a nasty knockout against Max Roshkoff. Good fight there. That fight was a lot of fun. And then you land in the big shot and put him away. So I'll take a few questions and then we'll get on out of here. Duho Choi's about to fight, so we don't want to miss that.
Holy shit. Dead serious. They gave that fight to Nikita Mikhailov?
Yes.
I can't believe I legitimately walked away as like, oh, Darren Caldwell won. Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I am just now looking at this.
Yeah. The judging was a little sus on the first couple of fights.
Incredible.
A lot of people thought Alejandra Lara won against Diana Asuragova, but I don't know. That one I didn't feel as bad about, but I felt Caldwell won. Flip. So Joseph Bozov asks, was that the right card to debut on CBS? Fans and fellow fighters are upset. They didn't get the Cinderella ending we all wanted. Shaheen, was this the right card to debut on CBS? Did they lay it out the right way? Was this putting the best foot forward with what they had?
I mean, you know my thoughts on like you throw Fedor in a fight where he could have won and then we could have really had a celebration. But also it's like, it's Fedor. If he's only asking for a title fight and he's not trying to fight Cans, your hands are kind of tied there. Also, they tried to make the co-main event much more fun with the Yoel Romero Nemkov fight. That would have been, for whatever it would have been, it would have been interesting. Like, right, like that would have, Yoel Romero is just a bizarre man who creates very bizarre scenes, and that would have been very cool to watch. So they tried. Like, ultimately this is sort of the best that they had to work with, considering the guys that were available. Like, I think for the most part this was the right move. And they did do a very, we get on Bellator a lot about promotion and why are you not promoting these cards, really, but I feel like they made a concerted effort to tell the Fedor story in a way that at least should have translated to some level of the audience, of just getting, imparting upon people how important this guy was and what a big moment this was. So I think this was the right card for the most part.
Jen?
Yeah, it's the same criticisms I had going into it. This is the best that they could do with what they had, which I think is fine. I think it also speaks to, maybe if you know you're doing the CBS thing, maybe have a bit more foresight, because this really would have been a good opportunity to start the lightweight Grand Prix, to get AJ McKee fighting on CBS, the start of this, or hell, I know that, you know, maybe this bungles up your other plans, but like, do the Danny Sabatello, Halfian Stotts fight here, like that, really making the most of this belt or this CBS spot with kind of the future stars and the big personalities that you have. But, you know, taking that criticism aside, they did the best what they can. It's still a success and a passing grade by any measure.
You put Danny Sabatello on CBS and they are hearing zero words of anything that man says. It, like, that is getting bleeped out immediately the moment that man talks.
You don't need to hear that man talk. You just look at the hair. That's all you need.
For those wondering what happened in the post-limbs, four decisions. Neiman Gracie won. Jaylon Bates, big win over Jornal Lugo, splitty. I have to go back and watch that one. Isaiah Hokit got a unanimous decision win, and Yusuf Karakaya got a unanimous decision win as well. So those were the post-limbs. This question came up a bunch. We touched on this a little bit, but I guess we'll focus a little bit more on it. Jed, I'll start with you. What was your thoughts during the Fedor retirement moment with all the legends? I know it didn't feel as yucky as we thought it might feel, considering how we all thought this fight was going to play out. But in the end, pretty cool moment, would you say?
Again, it was fine. I thought that there was a high potential for this to be awful, which is why I like the idea, but I was very, very concerned about the execution. Just because, like, if Fedor does get slabbed and say he's down and out for a few minutes, that just is a whole different thing, and it's all pretty bad. He didn't, and the way it worked out, it landed okay. It still felt a little weird, just because, like, most of the people up there, he has nothing connected with other than some ephemeral sense of unity based on time period. But, like, he never fought Chuck Liddell. I don't know if maybe he had been around Hoist Gracie before, but I can't recall why. You know, like, Josh Barnett and Dan Henderson made sense, and Randy Couture made sense because that's the one that got away. But there were like Matt Hughes has nothing to do with Fedor in his story. So I would rather them do that than do nothing, because that is at least a cool idea of honoring a legend, doing something like that. And it didn't go bad, so I'm totally okay with it.
There are some just absolute grumps in the comment section. Oh my God, get some sleep. Turn your TVs off. Go to bed.
I want to shout out the comment section, though, because there are a couple of people in here doing God's work.
I agree.
So by that, I mean both sides, because there has been an ongoing conversation about Fedor being the GOAT. And by conversation, I mean it is literally one side saying he is not, and the other being like, you're stupid. And that has been going on since the post-fight press conference. The same people just doing, there is no depth, no nuance to the conversation. It's just like, he is, you're an idiot. And it rules. The commitment these people are showing, I respect you guys, both sides.
I'm with WTF for the most part.
He's an absolute imbecile, but I respect.
He's the one waving the flag more than anybody, though.
But I respect his commitment to do. Yeah, exactly. You can't just keep fighting some dude who is just gonna be like, no, he's a bum. Like, you just gotta give up, man. At some point, value your own time. But God, I respect the effort out there from everybody.
Shaheed, what did you think about the Fedor send off?
I'd rather hear more about this, frankly. It was good. It was the same thing that we've already said a couple different times, right? Like, I think beforehand would have been nice. There was a good chance this could have gone a lot worse. It didn't. I'm happy that it didn't. Some of the lineup was weird. But it is. I'm here for trying to make things interesting and different, and that was interesting and different in a way that, you know, felt nice in the moment. Like, it feels nice to see sort of the end of an era, all this generation there. So I thought it worked out.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Again, I would have loved the aerial idea. Just take them all at the beginning. Give Fedor like the beginning wave before you go to the opening promo, whatever you're gonna do to start the card. But yeah, man.
Again, they should have carried him to the ring on a litter. Just all of them. Although, honestly, when I saw some, I was like, I see where we're not doing that. They looking old out there. Some of them fellas looking old.
Now you guys have emboldened these people even more in the comments section. And this is.
Dude, it's the best.
This is Peter. This is really great.
Yeah. I have been watching the comments for the whole post-fight press conference. This has been the exact same conversation.
Yeah, it's just back circles. And forth.
He didn't fight anybody good. You don't know shit. You didn't watch Backroom's Pride. Pride fighters sucked and were on steroids. That's dumb and not true. He beat UFC champions. It's been the best. It is the same three talking points just in a circle, just in an absolute circle, and neither side is giving an inch.
This is the BTL matchup. We just put comments on the screen. These two people battling it out. It could be the final round. Do a little tag team title match. So
Alan Tam just staying on his corner, man. Fedor sucks. He fought bums.
That's so hilarious. You could be the GOAT or the heavyweight number one for 7 years and somehow bums. Fighting bums. Beat every like relevant person in that era, more or less. Get out of here with this.
Like, I never thought that this conversation would be divisive at all. Like, even if you don't feel like he's the GOAT, how can you not? Like, he needs to be in every single conversation here. Like, even if you feel like he's not the most, because I think even you said on Damn Jed, like, he's probably not the most talented heavyweight of all time.
He's definitely not. He's not the best heavyweight of all
time. But his resume is incredible. It lasted forever. Nobody does this.
Seven and a half years. Nope. Seven and a half years.
The conversation starts with him, and then you have to disprove why it's not him. Like, that's more or less it. Like, the conversation starts with Fedor, and maybe you think it's Stipe. Then you have to prove why it's Stipe at that point. Like, that's where we're at with this.
If you want to say Kane was, like, the most athletically gifted and talented, that's cool. But none of these guys did this for 7.5 years. Almost a decade. Holy, my kid is 9. Fedor was, like, on top for, like, as long as he's lived for the most part.
The history of the sport has done it at the top as long as Fedor did. Anderson Silva's run was not as long as Fedor's. It's just
at heavyweight. At heavyweight. Yeah. Like, it's not a conversation.
No, it isn't. I think we've done enough here.
I'm here for us to just keep the comment section alive. I want to see how long they can continue this, frankly, because I agree it shouldn't be divisive, but things are going to be divisive. I can't believe the staying power of this, just 2 hours plus of just going after it.
I know. Different channels, different streams. Amazing. I appreciate your passion. I mean,
love the passion.
A little grumpy, but still, you're standing, you're putting your feet in the sand, you're standing your ground.
Can I ask one question before we leave? Because I did think about this. It is actually sort of back on topic. I was thinking about this during the post-fight press conference because somebody brought it back up to Scotty Cokes. Would Anderson Silva have been a good last fight for Fedor? I can't decide how I feel about that.
I wouldn't have hated it.
I definitely wouldn't have hated it. I just don't know if it's good or not.
It would have been I think it would have been better for business for sure.
Well, that's probably true.
It absolutely would have been. Anderson Silva is a star.
Either way, ended, I think there's a chance that, I mean, there could, I may, maybe it could have ended in extreme sadness if one of those dudes really gets sparked out. That would have still been pretty sad. I don't know. I wouldn't have hated it. It's better than this, I would think. Like, I would have rather seen that than this.
That's true, because I literally already saw this, so I didn't need to see it again. But I was just thinking about it a lot. I was like, I don't know, if they could have done that,
ooh,
it might have been good.
Fedor versus Machida, baby.
Look, Vanderlei was always the answer I wanted in my heart.
Yeah. Just
if Pride's gonna die, let's send it out right there. Light the funeral pyre.
Shogun. Bring Shogun in.
Or that.
That would have been a better idea than Shogun Ihor Pretoria, that's for sure.
The duelist, Mike! The duelist.
He fired in the air. It wasn't.
He fired in the air because he didn't shoot him. It's respect, Mike. You don't get that. I'm coming around on the Ihor thing, because that's going to be my favorite thing for some time. Just how impossibly stupid that man was.
He would fit right into this comment section, because he would defend the dancing, and he would just stand his ground, and no one would budge him. He would fit right in here. So Ihor,
fired in the air, man. Fired in the air.
No, you can duel in the comment section, baby. But
guys, we can't do Fedor Krokop 2. Google Krokop. He should never fight again.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I saw that a lot in the comments. It's like, Krokop is good for him to be where he is, but that man is never fighting again for very good reasons.
Touche. Okay, right. I think we're done. We're done.
Let's say
Duho Choi
and fighting. I want to watch that.
Yeah, they're clinching against the cage right now. So
I don't want to watch that.
So thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the UFC card. AK and I will be back tomorrow to do some matchmaking for this card on to the next one. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we're turning the page, and it's on to UFC 284. It's on to Islam Makhachev versus Alexander Volkanovski. Yes.
Haven't heard much about it. Okay. I guess it's not fight week, so we don't start talking about things, huh?
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for sharing. I am Mike Keck. We will be talking about UFC 284, even if the UFC doesn't next week. We'll see you later. Thank you for watching. Have a good night, everybody. Comment section. Keep it up.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.